My father has a health issue. When I had a health crisis last summer, my father-in-law, Henry, my middle son being diagnosed on the spectrum, and even to this day, there's just, with him starting middle school, there's a constant giving up to God. The big stuff, I feel like I'm okay. I'm sure I can get better, but I got that. I'm good at that. It's the little daily stuff.
Welcome to Study with Friends. We're a group of women studying the Bible together, inviting you to join us as we deepen our relationship with God through His Word. This week is part 5, the last in our study of the book of 1 John. If you need to catch up with us, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and pull up the series in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner of the site to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We provide inspiration and encouragement in your feed every day. Let's talk a little more about trust and obedience in the book of 1 John. I love, Caroline, that you were very straightforward with the next question. Do you struggle with more one than the other? And if so, do you want to share why? Or you don't have to go too deep, nothing that you wouldn't feel comfortable with, but I think you've been really open.
Yeah, I think about, I honed
so
in
far
on what hits me
about, yeah. You know, it's harder for you to trust. Mm-hmm. You can force yourself to obey, but the feelings, the deeper part for you is slower coming.
Yep.
Fair. That's fair.
Yep.
Do you guys want to speak into that at all?
Well, initially looking at that question, I felt like obedience was harder for me.
I would say that you are very good at trusting. I observe that about you.
Well, it's a process.
Well, you seem
and I'm
to
older
be very
than the rest of you,
it.
So I've had more practice.
You seem very good at it. I mean, you had a recent, within the last 3 years, circumstance that I won't force you to share if you don't want to, but I remember being gobsmacked by your trust during that situation. I was like, wow, that is true faith.
Well, that I wasn't born that way, and it's a process. But when I was saying obedience can be a problem, I realized that maybe sometimes my failure to obey is a failure to trust.
Yeah.
If I really believe God's in control and that God loves me and wants the best for me, what's the problem? Do it.
Yeah. Sure. But, easier said than done, though. Mm-hmm. But this is what we're drawing in the circle around and around again.
Exactly.
That you can't really pluck one out and expect to let it stand on its own without the other. You really can't. You can't. I don't think you can have trust without... I don't think you can have a deep trust without obedience. Like Carol just said a few minutes ago, the very first thing we do is trust. And then our trust goes deeper as we fellowship with God and we see that our obedience produces fruit. Then our trust gets deeper and deeper. But the very first thing we do is trust. When we believe, we trust that what he's saying is the truth. So I don't think you can separate them.
Mm-hmm. I put that I struggle with obey in certain areas, like especially sharing my faith. It's not a lack of desire or a lack of understanding that's important or a lack of understanding that God has directed us to do that. I don't have the words, and so I shy away from situations where I'll be asked to do that. And who knows what, if it's fear or if it's just lack of giftedness or whatever. So there's certain aspects of following Jesus's example that I struggle with.
Mm. That's good. Yeah, that's good. And can I draw a connection? In my experience, I knew I was fully unable. I trusted that he would overcome even my lack of ability. Mm-hmm. So again, totally linked.
Right.
Like I was trying to think about which one. I mean, I think you, for me, you hit the nail on the head. There are times when I struggle to trust and there are times when I struggle to obey. Mm-hmm. I think I get that I'm supposed to do both. And in mm-hmm. some circumstances, I do it well. But most of the time, I'm a little wobbly. Mm-hmm. on one or the other or both. So, I mean, I think this is the struggle. So,
I had another example of a dynamic in our family that is based on this. You know, when we got married and we started talking about kids and how we wanted to raise them, we wanted to model, you know, being involved with the poor or loving, you know, outside of our family. How do we share our faith? And we thought, we'll, you know, go down to the city or whatever the church is doing. And but now that we have the kids, my husband struggles with trusting for protection. Mm-hmm. And so he won't allow us to go into any urban environment and do anything. He's like, you know, Jacqueline's cute and blonde and blue-eyed and she's so naive and she'll be kidnapped in a minute, you know? And so he puts this barrier up and I'll say, but remember, we talked about how important this is. We want to model our to our children getting involved mm-hmm. in these kinds of activities and reaching out to the underprivileged or whatever.
I just want to bring back then, because you're like, oh, Joe does so much better than I do when it comes to saying, yeah. let me pray
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
Right. But he struggles
with. He's struggling right. with something right. that you're not struggling with.
Right. Right.
And then they're both trust-based, really.
Right.
Right. Right. So, different. You know, it holds us back as a family. And he, you know, plays that, well, I'm the protector. It's my responsibility.
Mm-hmm. He's scared.
You know, and I'm like, but you can't, we're never going to go yeah. into the city. Mm-hmm. We're never.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just an example I yep. thought of yeah. about.
And I get that.
Trust is.
Yeah. Over the summer, youth group took the kids down to the city. Now, I knew they were doing a mission project. I said Owen could go. I trust the leader, you know, of course, the leaders. I never connected the dots. It was summer. It was more of a, well, he's going here and the other ones has to be here. And, you know, and then it was after the fact when pictures were posted and he told me what was going on and he was the youngest one and this is what he had to do. And, you know, some of the recipients came up and shook his hand and thanked him and feel good moment. And then, you know, I'm all filled up and ready to cry over joy. And Sean's like, where did you go? Where did they take you? Where was this?
Who touched your hand?
You were folding underwear and bras. Yeah. Like they were sorting through basically donated clothes at the particular church. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was a lot of women's undergarments and he's 13 and he said, yeah, they showed me how to fold them and they had to sort them and sift through, you know, it was kind of a fill your tank moment for he and I. And right away, Sean, the protector is the what?
Safety,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet I feel like jumping back, when I know I didn't really answer the question before about in my life, showing the relationship, the big stuff. When my father has a health issue, when I had a health crisis last summer, my father-in-law, Henry, you know, my middle son being diagnosed on the spectrum, and even to this day, there's just with him starting middle school, there's a constant giving up to God. The big stuff, I feel like I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I can get better, but I got that. I'm good at that. It's the little daily stuff, the little, you know, like I said before, the little barrage of.
That's very interesting, because what I heard from that was it's more easy for you to let go of the things you know you can't possibly control.
Yes. But the things, and yes, I am type A. So maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but what's funny to me is you have said like four or five times, I have trust issues.
Yeah.
But the truth is you are trusting him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just eventually it works its way into the littler things, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, the things that we think we have control over versus the things that we don't. I have a harder time trusting the things I don't have control over.
Right.
I have a hard time with that. That makes those things can make me very anxious. We went to a school meeting on Tuesday and they were talking about these measures that they have in place for security and safety. And I mean, he didn't get so deep into it, but he was talking about the protocol for a biological weapon, the protocol Goodness. For, I know. And at the same time, I felt totally comforted that they had thought all that through.
Yeah, kudos.
And completely freaked out that I hadn't thought of it.
Right.
And I was glad that they had thought of it. But then I was like, what if there's something that we didn't think of? Which is out of my control.
Well, and mind you, I'm not saying that I would be okay with it. There was a lockdown last spring at one of the local archdiocese high schools. And my sister-in-law works there in the disciplinarian's office. My nephew attended at the time, still attends there. And my poor sister-in-law was a wreck because there's no contact. There's no, you can call the school until your fingers turn blue, but there is for...
It's a lockdown.
It is a lockdown. Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law was under her desk because they didn't know this threat. And it was on the social media. It was on the news, you know, afterwards, but it wound up being nothing. It was threats, but they were followed through as if.
Protocol.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law said afterwards, sorry, I'm just picturing.
Good.
But she said, she picked up her son and she said, "What are you okay?" And he's just a funny kid. He's a funny dude. He's, you know, broken his back. He's been through a lot. He's done, you know, for 15, 16 years old, 16, he's been through a lot. And he's just got a funny attitude. And he's just very real, you know. Very, what you see is what you get. And he's okay with that. And, you know, God love him. But he, what was going on in your head? And he's like, honestly, I was just trying to think of the different ways to get out of the classroom. I was just trying to figure out what's under the windows here. What's under, that's not something we've had to deal with growing up. It's just not, you know, so yeah, I mean, there are that to me is like, I don't know if I'd be okay. I could.
You know what? We actually are unique in our generation. So you're in your 40s, right?
46, yeah.
As are you? And you're not.
I'm from the duck and cover era talking
that's
right
exactly
now.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
My mom said
we
the
were
same
more
thing.
Unique yes. in the fact that we did not have yes. any drills like that.
I know.
Because World War One, World War Two, and most of the people in other generations did have drills like that.
I know. Last year when...
As ineffective as they would have been.
Yeah, it's totally ineffective.
But like first, in, you know, first grade.
The desk.
You know,
after the desk is going to keep you, you protected know, from a bomb.
Ben with his...
Nuclear fallout.
Yeah. But Ben with his little baby voice in first grade. You know, mommy, we had, you know, the intruder drill. We had this drill, code red. We had a code blue. Mm-hmm. And I hide here. You know, this is my place and, you know, this is our, and the school's done amazing things to get safer and I appreciate what they're doing and, you know, were you okay with it? And we talk about it. Yeah. And then, you know, the principal gets on and he says, the eagle's in the nest, you know, that kind of like.
That's very scary because you're not with them and you feel like you can't protect them, but.
But, right, you know, my mom, I tell her, and my mom's just, oh, gosh, that brings back some memories. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, what? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, and it's the fundamental safety of our children that, I mean, what, you know, and the people that we love when we're not together. I get anxious when I'm flying alone for business. I'm totally relaxed when all four of us are together traveling.
Oh, see, I'd be opposite.
Flying. Because... If we all go down, we go down together. What I worry about is separation.
Okay. Yeah.
And so messed up. I'm comforted that we're all going to go down together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'll be
because having lost my mom and having been blessed with a church mom, but having lost the mom who raised me, I'm sensitized to that separation
right.
and that loss. And so I feel like, oh, I don't want any of us to feel that. But if we're all together, then, you know. We're all going to heaven together. How great is that? Mm-hmm. Nobody had to wait. Nobody had to mourn. I know it's messed up. Okay. That's a little snapshot into the darkness of my mind. Okay. But let's, I do want to wrap because I know that you have to get out of here. Is there more you want to say? I do want to spend a few more minutes on tips and tools. If you have some good notes in the tips and tools that help you stay inside the trust and obey circle. But I want to neglect if there's other things that you made notes and you were like, well, that's just wisdom. I wrote that down on my paper and that needs to be said. I want to give you a place for that. But if you're good to move forward, I wanted to get to tips and tools because honestly, I think that's one of the most important things. Where do we take this word that's in front of us and move into our everyday life? I shared mine. I got to be in fellowship. I have to. One of the things that I've shared on this program several times that I can't say enough is do not neglect coffee with your godly girlfriend. So how many times have we set up coffee and then it seems like an indulgence that we're going to sit down with a girlfriend? And so when life takes off, we cancel it. It's wrong to do because it's that is an anchor. God uses that time. I mean, I rarely show up with one of my girlfriends where God has not done something. Uses me, uses her. And I know that we were supposed to be there. And if I put it off three times, I'm like, ooh, don't do that. That's an anchor. Yes, of course, go to church. Of course, go to church. Get under good teaching. Be in your Bible study. Those are all fundamental. But this one about just being in chilled out fellowship, not like structured potluck fellowship, although who doesn't love a good potluck? What's up? Last year, I was like, oh my gosh, we are so churchy. My whole family was walking out the door and I had a casserole in my hand. I was like, wow.
Were those
this is
people?
Not the life I thought I was going to live. But I am so stoked to be going to the potluck. Like, I'm like, woohoo. I love my church people. They always cook really good food. And I'm like, this is the best. And my kids love our church family. Everybody, we just love to go into that fellowship. So I'm not saying neglect the potluck because you got to get to the potluck. But also, don't neglect that quieter fellowship of having your girlfriend come and sit with you on the couch. And something I'm getting past now is like, whatever, there's dishes in the sink. Come over.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Just come over. Mm-hmm. Come over right now. Mm-hmm. Or I'm coming. I don't care. I'm coming to see you. Or meet me at Starbucks right now. I'm better at that than saying, I'll pray with you right now, although sometimes it evolves into that. But also this where I haven't seen somebody for a while. Oh, let's put it on the calendar. And then it like becomes this thing that is almost negotiable because it really, like I said, feels like, oh, but that's time for me. And these other things are pressing in and I'm just going to have to cancel that. Don't do it. Go be in front of your godly girlfriend. Let her hold you accountable. Hold her accountable. Lift her up. Encourage her. Let her encourage you. The best friends that we have, be with them. Let them do the thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do. Let it happen. Don't neglect coffee with your girlfriends. That's one of my tips. Let me put it behind reading your Bible, praying, and then godly fellowship. Okay. Other tips?
All of the above.
Yeah.
I've developed a mantra. God is in control. And this helps me so much in trusting, in releasing anxiety. I mean, it applies to everything in my life. My husband and I lately have been talking a lot of politics and what's going to happen if, you know, nobody likes either choice.
Yeah. Some people like one of the choices.
Yeah, this is true.
Some people don't like either choice.
Right. But amongst our friends, a lot of the people don't like either choice, friends and family. But we start going back and forth about, oh, what may happen and what, you know, what might not happen and how horrible it could end up. And I just stop in the middle of it and I say, okay, God's still on the throne. He hasn't left. And there's so many biblical examples when God used tyrants to accomplish his will. Mm-hmm. So I said, we can't forget that God is in control.
He is in control. And he's bigger than the White House. He is. He's bigger than the Sultan's Palace. He's bigger than Buckingham Palace. And he's bigger than the White House. He just is. And I'm going to tell you something that the pastor at my children, so we went to this, my children both go to a Christian school, and the pastor was leading the school meeting. He was the one telling us about the protocols for a biological weapon. But one of the other things that he said in a very cursory way, because after the parents started asking, what are you talking to the children about with respect to the political climate? And he said something that was so good And I don't think we take our hands off the wheel, but it does put things in perspective. He said, America is not going to be fixed in the voting booth. It will only be fixed in the prayer closet.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And I was like, that is so true. It's totally true. And he's like, that's what I'm teaching them. That's what we're teaching them. This political climate will pass. What we do in response to our neighbors and on our knees, that's what changes a culture. Because prayer closet I can do. Voting booth this year, I'm going to be like...
a little shaky.
Yeah. Okay, any other tips, tips, tips?
Well, I had mentioned before, but I just wrote keep an eternal perspective because...
That's right.
It ties into what we're talking about politically. Like, I think we've all noticed... like the United States isn't mentioned in Revelation.
That's right.
So, you know, maybe God is using this election to accomplish his purposes of bringing the end times because America needs to fall.
Oh my gosh.
Who knows? I'm just saying, like, there's theories. But the eternal perspective that I try and keep is we've all heard this truth. Like, your life, even if it's 100 years, is a blip, you know? And granted, I'm someone who hasn't experienced a lot of loss. I haven't lost a parent. I haven't lived with what others have lived with as far as feeling a lot of loss in this lifetime, but it's still a blip and we have eternity with God at the end of this. So if we can keep perspective of this is a short period of time, even our whole life is a short period of time, you can go out and risk your child going into the inner city. Because even if heaven forbid that child gets hurt or is lost to you, it's a short period of time before you're reunited in heaven. You know,
it's hard to do.
A hard perspective
and
to keep,
I think,
but it's
we,
truth.
As a church, I don't think we do enough talking about the eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest about that. I don't think we do a very good job of reminding believers that we have something that we are looking forward to and should be focused on. And so I'm really glad you said that.
My husband likes to say, we give far too much power to death. As Christians, we should be looking forward to what comes after that. Mm-hmm. And so many people feel it.
Yeah,
fear
it's hard.
It.
It's hard.
And we also fear losing things in this life, like finances. You know, we worry a lot about money and stuff. Being poor is not fun. Again, it's a short,
short time.
It's like, so what if we're poor? Like, you don't lose your faith.
It's temporal.
You don't lose your love.
It's all temporal.
Right. Mm-hmm. So all of those, eternal.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you said that.
Perspective.
Yeah, that's very good. I'm going to start putting that on my list. Reading God's word, being in prayer, keep an eternal perspective. That's good. I am. I'm going to adopt it. You'll hear it again. Are we awesome. Ready to pray and close?
I think so.
You're right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. Let's thank God for this time. God, I feel like I always say the same thing at the beginning and the end. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And just say it again and again because I can't thank you enough. Every time we sit at this table, every time we sit with your word in our lap, you show up and you are there waiting for us in the pages of your word to become bigger and brighter and more significant in our lives if we just cooperate. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help us with the learning that we've experienced today, with the wisdom that we've all benefited from each other. Like, help us to go out and behave differently, changed by your word, changed by your son. We ask it in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
We are so glad you listened today. We believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you are new to the Bible, curious but not ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you gain something more. Either way, we hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We're listener supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. February is the month of our annual fund drive. Would you prayerfully consider helping to financially steward the ministry of Study with Friends? You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Honestly, hearing from you would make our day. We're always passing the emails around to celebrate that you cared enough to reach out, and we pray for you too. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.